This is Timmy here, and there are lots of things you should do before the summer's over. One of them is camping. I've been camping before as a scout and on Whackaday shoots, and it's brilliant. I remember in South Africa, the Baden-Powell camping shoot we did involved a brilliant campfire cookout of an ostrich egg. It was the biggest omelette you've ever seen, and after two mouthfuls you can't eat any more, it's so rich. In Australia, we did a Bushman experience shoot where we all sang Waltzing Matilda and unrolled our swag under the stars. So, like a lot of people, we decided that this year, the UK summer would be the best ever and a perfect time to hit the great outdoors and get in some practice too for I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Mostly our camping involves sleeping out on the trampoline. It's wonderful to lie there watching the bats fly overhead. Satellites wink across the sky, and shooting stars always fly across just as you're dropping off. Of course, if you wriggle a bit, the whole trampoline goes doing, doing, and you wake up the others lying on it. The dew leaves the blankets and sleeping bags sopping wet. But an hour of sunshine the following morning, and everything is dry and stowed away again. We've done it plenty of times during those heatwave nights, so we thought we ought to go the whole hog and do it properly. One of the problems with camping is knowing what to take. But in our case, it was easy. We took our friend Paul. Paul knows everything there is to know about living under campers, and he has every accessory there is, sometimes in triplicate. "Have you got an apple peeler?" asked Billy. "Right in front of you," said Paul. "What about an illuminated makeup mirror?" asked Mrs. Mallet. "Well, let me see. I don't think it's illuminated, but there's definitely a makeup mirror." So we took the train to a squelchy field in the Lake District with a suitcase on wheels. That got a few glances, I can tell you. A suitcase? Camping? The squelchy field had four showers. "Four blocks of showers," we said admiringly. "No, four showers. For 400 people. It was a busy weekend. But at least there was a lake nearby. You have to cook for yourself or enjoy fish and chips in the town because the village pubs all stop serving before 8:30. Yeah, I know. The busiest time of the year. And the food's off if you step out for a feed. What sort of England have we got? So we learned to enjoy the self-lighting barbecues. You know those ones impregnated with inflammable flavouring? Lighting a fire is something the mallets do really well. I love those chimerea things, and even setting fire to a tree in the garden last month, by mistake, I hasten to add, doesn't put me off. So we cooked over a proper stone-based fire with the Baden-Powell triangular support thing, and it was delicious. There's a discipline about camping. I'm not usually bothered about rules of this and that, but it was actually fun building dams and clambering through streams and flying kites and sailing on the lake and capsizing and playing rounders and admiring the skill of a dry stone waller and listening to the family go ooh and ah over black-faced sheep and fierce-looking horned rams. Even the rain hammering on the tent inches from your head was quite soothing. And the rainbows were spectacular, and everything was utterly, gorgeously green. You don't get green without rain. I can see how frustrating it is too. Some people packed up and just dumped the tents. Never again! Not us, because we had Paul. And our friend Paul is the fount of all camping knowledge. He taught us to tie the ropes on the boat and the rope swing off the tree. "You need a bowline," he said.
"A what?"
"A bowline. You go up the rabbit hole, round the tree and back down the rabbit hole and you get a nice loop to get it off again."
"Ooh."
And there was something called a sheep hitch or a clinch of sheets or something. Paul's the one who's actually read and learned the adventure book for boys. It's sensational. He showed us the round turn, the two half clinches and a useful knot for tying and untying your horse. We hadn't got the horse, but we had the knot in case. And best of all, he knows a new way to tie a tie. You know, I haven't worn a tie for ages and I didn't wear a tie when I went camping. I do at least know how to tie a tie. I think there are two ways to do it. There's the right way and the great big knot way. Apparently, two researchers got themselves a university grant recently to study how many ways there are to tie a tie, and after 2 years, discovered there were 84 different ways. "Not so," said Paul. "I tied mine back to front and upside down." And sure enough, he discovered the 85th way to tie your tie. He even showed us with a rolled-up folded tie made of newspapers. Brilliant! So if ever you're planning on going camping, get a pall to go with it. It's a whole lot easier, a lot more fun, and your tie will be dead straight.